This morning's reading is from Mark in chapter 10, 35 to 45. James and John, Zebedee's sons, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. And they said, "Allow one of us to sit on your right and the other on your left when you enter your glory." Jesus replied, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or receive the baptism I receive?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said, "You will drink the cup I drink and receive the baptism I receive. But to sit on my right or left hand isn't mine to give. It belongs to those for whom it has been prepared." Now, when the other 10 disciples heard about this, they became angry with James and John. Jesus called them over and said, "You know that the ones who are considered the rulers by the Gentiles show off their authority over them, and their high-ranking officials order them around. But that is not the way it will be with you. Whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life to liberate many people." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So, without fail, usually about once or twice a week, I'll either be with Alyssa or on the phone with Alyssa, and I'll turn to her and I say, "Listen, I have to tell you something, but you gotta promise not to be mad about it." And without fail, she looks at me and takes a deep breath and says, "Okay, go ahead." And then it's usually something innocent or simple, like I didn't do homework for class, or I ate an extra cookie, or I watched a TV show that we were waiting to watch, or I scheduled a camping trip and didn't tell you. But yet, still without fail, I always preempt my conversation with, you gotta promise not to be mad for a second. "Listen to what I say, it'll be okay," I always tell her. And so in the text this morning, I think this is what James and John were doing to Jesus. And I love the way Carolyn read it. They go up to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, Rabbi, we want for you to do whatever we ask of you. We want you to say yes before we even ask the question. We want you to do what we request even before you hear it." And all I can imagine is Jesus taking that deep breath and saying, "Okay, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you?" Bracing himself for that impact. Getting ready for whatever is going to come out next. Getting ready for that bombshell. And James and John, they respond, "Jesus, let us sit next to you when you enter into your glory. Let us occupy places of honor to your right and to your left. Let us sit in those throne chairs when you enter into your throne." And thankfully, they preempted their request. "Jesus, don't get mad. Jesus, please give us whatever we ask." Because I imagine Jesus face-palming and says, "You have no idea what you are asking me. You have no idea what you are asking for. You don't know what's coming," he says. "Can you drink from the cup I drink? Can you receive the baptism I receive? Are you prepared to go to the lengths I'm going? Are you prepared to go to the cross and to hang there next to me?" A few weeks ago, we talked about Peter and the disciples just not understanding who Jesus is, how throughout that text, Jesus was just a doofus. And this week, James and John are the doofuses. This week, they do not understand who Jesus is and what he is all about. That his coming is not what they expected. He was not the conquering king. He was not the glorious Messiah. He was coming to be a suffering servant. to lay his life down for others. And you think after last week when we heard how impossible it would be to have to enter the kingdom of God if you had wealth or pride, that it was like a camel going through the eye of a needle, you'd think they'd understand that the places of honor would not look the same in the kingdom of God. That sitting on either side of Jesus would not be rulers and kings and emperors, but would be servants alongside of him, would be thieves who hang on those crosses next to Jesus. And then Jesus drops the bombshell, the last part of that text. And I love Mark again. Mark was probably a scribe who was taught and traveled alongside of Peter. In verse 41, it says, "The other disciples heard about James and John, and they became angry." They became angry. How dare they demand seats of power? What am I, chopped liver? Then Jesus continues, "The ones who are considered rulers, the Herods and the Caesars, the rulers have to show off their authority. They have to order people around to prove that they are in charge, but that's not how it's going to work in the kingdom of God. That's not how it's going to work for you. Whoever wants to be the greatest must be the servant. Whoever wants to be first must become the slave. I did not come to be served," Jesus says, "but to serve. To give my life to liberate the many, to free the many, to break them out of slavery and chains. Whoever wants to be the greatest must become the servant. Whoever wants to become first must become the slave." And we've been hearing this for months now, that the kingdom of God will turn the world on its head, that the rich and powerful will become the least, and the poor and the homeless will become the best, that the rich will find it impossible to enter the kingdom of heaven, and the sinners and the tax collectors and the drug users and the criminals will find rest and compassion in the kingdom of heaven. And like the disciples, I'm wondering if we're really hearing Jesus. Like the disciples, I'm wondering if we're really understanding what he's asking and what he is teaching us. In verse 38, he makes a comment that was easy to understand, but I think may have passed us by. "Can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you receive the baptism that I will receive?" We read these words and we think of baptism and communion like we celebrate them today. Communion being a simple, clean act of dipping a piece of bread into a cup. Or baptism of sprinkling a baby's head with a few drops of water. But Jesus' meaning was much darker this morning. In a few weeks, when we read in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus prays at that rock like he does in our stained glass window, he prays, "Father, through you all things are possible. Take this cup of suffering away from me. Take this cup away from me. Not that I want, but what you want. Not my will, but your will." The Last Supper, communion, the cup of salvation is also the cup of suffering. Taking communion is to reenact the Last Supper, but it's also to remember the blood that Jesus would shed. To remember the pain and suffering he would endure on the cross. The cup of salvation is also the cup of suffering. It is the cup he prayed for, that it would pass if it could. The baptism that we share, the original method of baptism was by immersion. Being completely dunked under a stream of water, either in the river or in a pool, the priest would dunk you completely. And as you were underwater, as you were completely underwater, it was as if you were drowning. As if you were dying. To participate in the baptism of Christ, not the one that John the Baptist did, but the one in the communion liturgy, it says, "By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection." God bless you. By the suffering of his death and resurrection, that is the baptism that Jesus went through. By this baptism, God gave birth to the church and delivered us from slavery to sin and death. This was the new covenant. And so when we are baptized, we are dead to our former selves. This is when you hear about born again Christians. We are all born again Christians. Dead to our former selves, dead to a lives of slavery, to sin and death. We celebrate the same baptism with Christ. And so in verse 38, the cup and the baptism that Jesus is talking about, the cup and the baptism that he's asking James and John if they are willing to drink and willing to receive is the same one that Jesus asks if we are willing to drink and to receive. Can we follow him to the cross? Can we drink from the cup of suffering? Can we be baptized in torture, death, and resurrection? Or do we assume that the cup and the baptism are ones of honor? Do we look at being Christians like James and John, that the cup must be the cup of a king, encrusted with gold and diamonds, magnificent and wonderful, like that fake Holy Grail in Indiana Jones? Or that our baptism will be like Jesus's was, that a voice will open from heaven and announce that we are holy and wonderful and important? That's what James and John assumed, that the cup and the baptism were glorious and wonderful, that the seat of power and honor next to Jesus would guarantee them power and honor, that to sit next to him would be something to hope for instead of the place where those two thieves would lay on the cross. But I think what Jesus is trying to tell them, what Jesus is trying to tell us, that to be powerful and to have honor, we must humble ourselves. We must become the servant. We must become the slave. And he meant that word very literally. In a world that is so power hungry, in a world where political leaders and people and organizations do everything they can to get into power and then to stay into power, where the rich do whatever they can to become richer, to do whatever they can to use their power, where those who show off their authority order other people around, in a world that looks exactly like the one that Jesus is teaching about, imagine if we actually heard what he was trying to say. That whoever wants to be first must become the slave of all. That whoever wants to be the greatest must become the servant. Whoever wants power must release all power. Whoever wants riches must release all of their wealth. That honor and glory in the kingdom of God are not what we expect. These aren't positions that will benefit us. These aren't ways to become more rich or more powerful. Instead, we must drink from the cup of suffering. We must be baptized in death and resurrection. We must give up our need for power and for glory, and instead become servants to one another, become slaves to one another, to die to our former selves, and instead be reborn as children of God. Friends, let us pray. Gracious God, as James and John came to your son Jesus, as they came and asked if they could sit on either side of his throne, Lord, forgive us for the times that we have asked for the same blessing. For the times that we have thought that being a Christian would be a way to become rich, or a way to rub elbows, for a way that we thought we were being honored and glorified, when instead we must come to honor and glorify you. Lord, during this Lenten season, let us remain humble. Let us become servants of one another, slaves to one another if we must be, that we may truly know what it means to be suffering servants. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus.